morning, let me say welcome. 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 I believe God has brought us out here this morning so that we might meet with Him. And it's important that we not only meet with each other, but we take that opportunity to meet with God. And we take that opportunity to let God meet with us. It's important. You know, you can come to church and not meet with God. It's important that you meet with Him. So that you go away saying, I have met with the Lord. Hallelujah. And we're going to focus on what's going on, sorry.
Sorry, just a bit of a volume there with down up there, it's fine.
Okay, it's fine. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. Should we open the Romans chapter 8? And I've got two translations here. I think, Sister Mary, thank you very much for just encouraging folks who were not here over the night vigil from this world. It came to us, I was not prepared for it, but when God brought it up, we had to spend time just exploring it. And later when I got home, I felt the Lord say to me that I needed to bring it to the whole church. Because this is so important to our lives and to our relationships. Hallelujah. It's important to our lives and to our relationships. I've put two translations on so that we might get a better understanding from these two translations. The NIV says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. These are not my words. These are God's words. Now, let's look at how the Good News Bible opens it up. Because when we talk about the flesh and the spirit, in another translation, it says the sinful mind. So there are different translations that use different words. The sinful mind. Then it says the flesh. Let's see how the NIV and the Good News puts it. Those who live as their human nature tells them to. Do you get that? Those who live as their human nature tells them to have their minds controlled by what that human nature wants. Do you get that?
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. Those who live as the Spirit tells them to have their minds controlled by what the Spirit wants. What controls your mind is what your mind is set on. Are you with me? Let me, you know, often when we read this, we think, oh, this is maybe for non-Christians. No. Paul is talking to the church in Rome. This is for believers. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is for believers. It goes on to say, those who live as the Spirit tells them to have their minds controlled by what the Spirit wants. To be controlled by human nature results in death. To be controlled by the Spirit results in life and peace.
Yeah.
You want life?
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. You want peace? Hallelujah. And then he goes on to say, and so people become enemies of God when they're controlled by their human nature. For they do not obey God's law. And in fact, they cannot obey. Those who obey their human nature cannot please God. Yeah, but this is me, Pastor. Everybody are different. This is me. Let me tell you something. What controls you shapes your destiny.
Yeah.
What is controlling you will affect your life. Some of you have no peace. Some of you, your lives are messed up, and you keep thinking maybe it'll change by magic. It won't change by magic, because God's word is God's word, and God's law applies to all of us.
Amen.
What controls our lives have incredible impact on how we live our lives and on our relationship with God. We'll come to that in a minute. Because what we're opening up here is what Paul talked about, the flesh according to the flesh, or to put it in the translation we would understand, as our human nature. How many of you say, but this is my nature? This is, do you know Christ came to change our nature?
Oh,
hallelujah. He says, like he who steals. How many of you know that to steal can be a nature? There are people that kleptomania. It's a nature. They don't need it, but they pinch it. Because something moves them. There are all sorts of natures that control us. We are in an age when so many things are said to be, but it's nature. It's nature. That what is happening in the world today is so challenging. And everybody talks about it's by nature. You know, sexuality now is according to nature. Everybody, praise God that it hasn't come to the time. You know, there was a time when people who wanted to sleep with animals were also saying it's by nature. And they were advocating it. There was a group that was set up to change the law so that people who could sleep with animals. Thank God he didn't go through. But you could say it's their nature. Everything is according to the nature. But you know, those are just things people can easily point at. But the nature that runs our lives is pretty strong.
Amen.
And it's so strong that it controls the positives as well as the negatives. The negatives, today I'm going to talk about the negatives. And next Sunday, God willing, I'll give you part two. And we'll look at the things that are natural. That people will say, but there's nothing wrong with them. Let me give you an example. Peter. The Lord Jesus was talking to Peter about, he was talking about his death. His imminent death. And Peter says to Jesus, hey, that's not going to happen to you. It'll never happen to you. It was implying that, but you're the Son of God. Nobody can kill you. And Jesus turned around to Peter and said, what? Get thee behind me, Satan. You see, the natural man conflicts with God. And what the Lord Jesus saw there was the natural man of Peter that was in enmity with the will of God. It's hostile to God. The Son of God is saying, I'm going to die for you. And Peter is saying, no. Peter didn't understand it. You see, there are things that may sound natural that are not according to the Spirit. So this is the first battery. Before we put up the second slide, let me just we'll go through that chapter 8. I'll just pick it up in little bits. Should we do that? Let's just pick it up in some little bits, okay? You'll see there that it starts up. Don't worry, sir. Thank you. Hallelujah. We picked it up from verse 5. Those who live according to. You know, it says that, and so he connected, in verse 4, it set the picture how Christ Jesus, you know, had the power to break. You know, it says, let me read it from verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay, we love that passage. You know, many people that read Romans 8, they love the first verse, and then they go to the end part, where he's talking about we're more than conquerors. But the things that are in between are what we're looking at here. Before you can be more than conquerors, you've got to do something with your flesh. Because you see, the greatest battle we fight, the spiritual warfare that we fight, is not the outside, it's the self. There is a Mr. Self in each of us. The psalmist not say, in sin did my new mother conceive me. We're born in it. And it's controlling. Hallelujah. But thanks be to God. Hallelujah. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature. The law is great. If there's a law that says you should not steal, or you should not lie. Oh, false witness. That's a good one, isn't it? You should not bear false witness. It's a law. Is that right? It's a law. It's God's law. But you know, when you are faced with a challenge, the nature gives in, isn't it? So the law is there. You see, the law is great, but the nature that has to implement the law is so weak that when it gets to it, it can't deliver. And that's the history of mankind. Every one of us, we know what is right and what is not. But when it comes to it, the nature lets us down. Because there is a Mr. Self in there who wants to protect itself. And it raises up its head in so many ways. Let's move on. Then it goes on to say, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled, fully met in us. And so he condemns sin in the sinful man. That's Jesus. It says, fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. You know, the meeting of that, of God's fullness in us, can only be achieved when we decide to live according to the Spirit and not the flesh. Are you listening to me? When he says there is therefore not no condemnation, read it, because I'm just rushing through this. In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not, it can only be met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature. Or let's replace that sinful nature with what? The human nature. Don't be confused by that word, sinful nature. It's not saying the sinful things we do. It's saying the nature that runs our lives. Because according to the word of God, all of us were born with a sinful nature. This is what Romans is talking about. Are you getting it? Because this is at the heart of it. If we don't understand it, we'll lose it. Okay? Now, it goes on very quickly. It's in verse 5 then picks it up. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds. Now, folks, my first question to you is this. What is your mind set on? If you want to know what controls you, what is your mind set on? Now, if you're 30 years old, before you know Christ, do you know for 30 years you've been ruled by the natural man? When a person becomes a Christian, something incredible happens. Suddenly, you're told that it is no longer just you. Suddenly, Christ comes into the picture. Suddenly, you're told the struggle is not just by your own strength, that Christ can help you. Suddenly, you're told that you've got access to a life-changing grace from God. Suddenly, you're told that you have access to a new power for living. Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. It's available, but it's not always taken. So, we then pick it up here that what is your mindset on? If you're 30 years old, you spend all your life growing up, from the time you're born, it's about yourself, isn't it? Preservation. You look after yourself. You make sure when you're hungry, like the glicky and the fit pet, you don't like the nappy, you scream. And you learn very quickly about self, how to look after yourself. Maybe you have siblings and little ones that are like you, and they start pushing you, and you learn to what? Push them back. Am I right? Am I right?
Yeah.
Am I the only one that grew up in, as a child? But you learn to start defending yourself. Then you become a teenager. You go to primary school, and in primary school, then you people want to push you around, and you've got to learn to stand up for yourself. And then we parents, we say to them, to our kids, stand up for yourself. Don't let it bully you. Stand up. So you're learning about self. Okay? You get to secondary school, it gets worse. Because now they're gangs. Okay? And then you're first. Do you know, in secondary school, most of our kids are in gangs. I don't mean gangs on the street that are shooting. But you've got to be in a group, otherwise you're ostracized. Nobody wants to talk to you. You know, you feel left out. You feel you're not good enough. You feel you're not pretty enough. You feel you're nothing. Everybody wants. So you begin to look at yourself. Then suddenly you're looking in the mirror, and they're telling you, this is how you ought to look. Amen. This is how, in fact, you don't need to get a secondary school before you get told. This is how you need to look. And you start getting image. Image. And then you come to a place where they're singing. Well, I can't sing because everybody's looking at what? Me. Can you see how self begins to control? Powerful stuff, Mr. Self. So image. And then, what should I wear? What should I wear? Everybody's wearing Prada. Is there something called Prada?
Prada.
What it is? I don't know what it is. What is it called?
Prada.
Prada. Praise God. My wife always tells me what is mine. So everybody's wearing Prada. Or whatever. What is it? What is it?
It's a fashion.
Fashion. Praise the Lord. Okay? So everybody's wearing whatever. And you're thinking, my parents can't wear Prada or whatever it is. And you've got problems. Mr. Image begins to control. Then you get a particular age. Everybody's getting this degree, what of me? Everybody's getting this job, what of me? All my colleagues are this, what of me? And you can see how a whole life can be run based on self. Let me tell you the good news. The good news is that when Christ comes into our life, He gives us the power for new life. But He doesn't force it on us. Amen. Let me tell you, don't just take the salvation and leave the rest of the package. Hallelujah. Amen. It's like you want to go on holiday and you book your flight, but you don't book your accommodation. You understand? You don't book your food. You don't take any money for food. You're not packaged for the journey. As you come to Christ, let me say to you, you need to get a full package. Christ says, I have come that you may have life and in all its fullness. But you know, this is at the heart of life. It says, those that are controlled by the Spirit have what? Life and peace. What is it that's controlling me? You know how I know? What I set my mind on. Okay, let's look at it. Now it's going on 1 o'clock. Okay, you came in here at about 11. Truthfully, some of you woke up 7, 8. When you woke up, what was your mind on? No, you don't have to tell me. I'm just making you to think. What? Okay. Sunday is great because Sunday is church day. Amen. This week, we all spent the same number of time. Days. 7 days we spent this week. This is a new week started. So last week, how much of that time, what was our mind set on for most of that week? Mm. Whatever a man's mind is set on, that is what controls that man. If you wake up in the morning and the first thing that comes to your mind is about what you want to do. For flesh, it's Mr. Flesh. It's Mr. Flesh. It's always Mr. Flesh. You wake up and the first thing is food. Some of you, when you wake up in the morning, it's food that has to come my first thing. And it's all right. It's all right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's food. Or it's my job. There's nothing wrong with your job. But you see, is Christ in that job? Does Christ have any space in that job? And if we spend all our lives with our mindset on the flesh, on the human nature, satisfying them, that's the thing. It says the mind is set on satisfying the human nature. Today, we spend 2 hours here. And after the 2 hours, what are you going to spend the rest of the day doing? Mm-hmm. Some of you, you've already lined up. So 2 hours out of maybe you are awake for 18. Is 18 too long? Hallelujah. 16. All right, let's give you another few hours to sleep. 16. You're awake for 16 hours. Well, how are you going to spend? How will you spend the 16 hours? What are the plans you've got? Evangelist Alfie was talking before. She said she was going somewhere and she wanted to go someplace. But somehow she felt, should I go that place, that place? She was trying to decide, where should I go? And then she ends up going to another place. And then she meets somebody. What those who are controlled, who have their mindset on what the Spirit wants. What the Spirit desires. How do you know what controls you? Whenever you have major decisions to make, what is predominant? What predominates in the making? What dominates the making of that decision is what controls you. Are you with me?
Amen.
Should I take that job? And there are many times that we are challenged in our decision making. And I don't really mean when we're adults alone. For every age group. I was talking about that there are many decisions in my life where I knew they could have been so critical, the decisions I made. But it's not even the huge things. Do you know you can go the wrong time? I remember one day I was in the lab, when I was doing my PhD in Manchester, I was in the lab, and Pastor McGill and I were supposed to go to London that day. And we were supposed to have left, but I was carried away with the experimentation I was doing because I built this huge structure and I was climbing it and doing various things. And I spent a bit longer than I should have done. And then I got out of the lab, I ran to the car because I knew she was waiting for me at home. And I got into the car. And normally I would commit my journey to the Lord's hands. But I didn't. It was just a minute. And I drove off. And as I went onto the road, a car came and hit me. And going to the London, forget it. I was in an accident. But you know, as I packed that car, you know what came to my mind? Just 1 minute seeking the Lord would have made all the difference to me. Just 1 minute. I was going to be in the way. But if I had only just waited, or even gone earlier, the decisions we make can be so critical for our lives. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So, whenever we make decisions, some of you right now, you're going to make decisions. What should you do? Let me ask you, what does the Spirit want you to do? Does it ever occur to you? We read it. When we read that passage that says, I know the plans I have for you. Mm-hmm. You know what that means? We read it this way. God, you know the plans I've made for myself and you have decided. And they're good. Oh, God, you know the plans I've made and you're sanctioning them and they're good. No. That's not what Jeremiah says. God says, I know the plans I have for you. You see, if we believe that God has made plans for us, isn't it worth listening for those plans?
Yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah.
So here, it's a fundamental thing we're talking about. The control of our lives. Who is it that controls us? Are we set our minds on the Spirit to control or on the human nature? It talks about the results very quickly. The sinful nature leads to death, or the human nature leads to death. The Spirit nature leads to life and peace. It says the sinful nature cannot please God. It's hostile to God. How can it be hostile to God? Of course, when we do things that are not in God's plan for us, they can be hostile to God. I suppose we wouldn't think that way. We just think, well, I love God. Also, it says that in verse 14, we didn't get that far, but it says, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. If I had time, I would open up the rest of it. But you know, this is our identity. Jesus said to the disciples, you know what he said to them? He said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and walk. Follow me. To be a disciple of Christ Jesus, it's not about saying, Jesus, I want you to save me from hell. It is. That's getting the gift of salvation. Becoming a disciple of Christ is saying, Lord, I will take up my cross and I will follow you. It's about control. It's about what the mind is set on. I'm going to put about a second passage now. Let's have a look at the second passage. Please put the second slide. Thank you. Now, we're talking about the human nature. This is the other side that explains what is the human nature. What is Mr. Self? Mr. Self, this is what Galatians 5, verse 5 says about Mr. Self. What I say is this, let the Spirit direct your life. This is from Good News, okay? Has it come up there? Oh, wonderful. It says, what I say is this, let the Spirit direct your lives, and you will not satisfy the desires of the human nature. For what our human nature wants, it's opposed to what the Spirit wants. And what the Spirit wants, it's opposed to what our human nature wants. These two are enemies. And this means that you cannot do what you want to do. If the Spirit leads you, then you are not subject to the law. What human nature does is quite plain. Now, if you want to know what the human nature does, we're looking at the negative signs of the human nature. This is the negative signs. It says, it shows itself in immoral, filthy, and indecent actions. The internet is full of it. I hope none of us are indulging in some of these. Because if we are, the point to Mr. South is Mr. South. We might be Christians, but you know, if the old nature is still controlling us, then it's very challenging for us to get away from that. It doesn't mean we don't know Christ Jesus, but it means that Mr. Self is still controlling. It goes on, it says, in worship of idols and witchcraft. Well, of course, none of us worship idols. Is it?
No.
All right. Idols don't have to be made of bronze and wood. Idols are things we idolize. And of course, witchcraft we know is a spiritual power that for doing all sorts of things. People become enemies. Listen very carefully to this. We're talking about what? The human nature. People become what? Enemies, and they fight. They become jealous, angry, and ambitious. This is bad. They separate into parties and groups. Hey, don't come onto my Facebook. I'm going to take you out of my Facebook. Put you in your leg book then, if you don't want the Facebook. You know, what's wrong with you? Thank you, Brother Neil, for your word last Sunday. You know, it's been on my mind since that there's a lot that's going on. We start off by talking bad about each other. You see, this is Mr. Self. He looked at me like that. How do you know he was looking at you? You must have looked at him as well.
Come on, Pastor.
He looked at me like that. He did this to me. It's Mr. Self. It says, it leads to when people become enemies and the fight. Right now in this place, there are people in this place who are fighting. And the Word of God talks about us being a family. Because Mr. Flesh is in the house and is stirring trouble. Are you with me? They separate into parties. Separating into parties can be on many, many, many grounds. Okay. I'm going to move with this group. I'm going to move with that group. They're envious. They get drunk. They have orgies. They do other things like this. I warn you now, as I have before, those who do these things, let's read it together,
will not possess the kingdom of God.
Who is speaking? Is God's word?
Yes.
Let me read to you a couple of after the word on Friday night, I was challenged by it. And so last night, I said the word had been on my mind. I was saying, Lord, do you really want me to bring this word? And I felt the Lord saying to me, I should go, and we have in our bedroom, we have a whole library of books, 200 at least there. And I said, Lord, if it is your word, I want you to lead me to pick up a book that would have it in it. And I went to the shelf and I picked up a book and I opened it randomly. I just opened it and it was talking about exactly this passage. I was stunned. I've read the book before because I get given loads of books. So let me read to you from this book on relationships. Listen very carefully. When you see people becoming, it's talking about the enemies that fight. When you see people becoming enemies and not wanting to see each other face to face, It is the flesh that is at work. People may become enemies of the market, on the farm. It can be at home or even in the church. Whenever you see such a manifestation, it shows that the flesh is at work. Singing in the choir or presenting a solo in the church can even be a basis for hatred. You know, people can dislike you for any reason. Yes. Hallelujah. It says that even among pastors can start fighting other pastors because they think they're more successful or more this or more that. But it's the same self. You see, your position doesn't alter anything. You have a title, doesn't alter anything.
That's right.
God's word applies to all of us.
Amen.
Your leadership doesn't change a thing. Mr. Self is the challenge here. So if you're one of those that struggles in relationship, you're always falling out. Somebody's always upsetting you. You know, have you ever seen a dead body upset? Have you ever seen a dead person upset? Abusive, he won't reply. He won't reply. You know, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. You know, Paul said, I die daily. That's why Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow. It's a daily challenge to silence Mr. Self. Hallelujah. Are you with me?
Yes.
Many are afraid of relationships in the church. I don't want anybody to upset me. Die. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, when you die in the flesh, it doesn't matter anymore. Amen. It doesn't matter anymore. Listen to what this guy says. If you're a Christian and you discover that you are in conflict with somebody, let me tell you that you are not yet in the light. He's more harsher than me. I'm telling you in the loving way. He was in real heart. He says, the Bible says you are in darkness even until now. Even though you think you're zealously serving God and very prayerful, your actions make you an enemy of God. You see, God is not glorified when we're fighting each other. Let me ask you, those of you who are parents, are you happy when your kids are fighting each other?
No.
It's a soul destroying thing when you see your kids quarreling. Siblings always quarrel, isn't it? Oh, one little thing, they will fall out. And God feels the same about us. Again, wherever you see people fighting, it is evident that the flesh is at work. Fighting may take place in the market or at night, it repeats the same thing. Let me read another bit from here. The flesh is what makes people break into parties. The old man is the source of tribalism. When you feel that your tribe is better than another tribe, the old man is at work in you. When men break into parties, even in the church, it is the work of the flesh. It is sad to see today that even churches are breaking into parties. This is the work of the flesh, and God is not interested in it. When you criticize others and believe that every other person is wrong. Oh, that's me quite right, isn't it? I believe everybody else is wrong. I say, is that a good idea to have? You see, itself, if you believe that you are the one that's always right. Let me ask you, when was the last time you said sorry to somebody? Some of you find it so hard to say sorry. Because you are always right. Wow. Mr. Self needs to be broken. But you're not saying amen.
Amen.
I'll stop there. Amen. I'll say amen for myself. Hallelujah. What are we talking about? It's a challenge. This is not about saving anybody from this battle. This is the battle we all have to fight. That's what I'm sharing with you.
Yeah.
You're a Christian, you love the Lord, I don't doubt it. But there's a battle that you have to be conscious that you're fighting. It is the battle over Mr. Self. Hallelujah.
Amen.